Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first singing, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? On the second, sing it. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? Sing the last. Lay aside the garments that are stained, be sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? I sing the chorus, sing it. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. How many knows that you're washed? Amen. 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 Y'all sound a lot this morning when I ask you. Say amen.
Okay. Amen.
How many knows that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Say amen. Amen. That sounds more like it. Amen. Amen.
Love that. Jesus loves me. It's been a good day at Westside Baptist Church. The service this morning, and I hope, I believe from the response that I heard this morning, I believe everybody really received a blessing by what was presented here today. Helps to be able to put things in a visual perspective sometimes. Nothing wrong with preaching, nothing wrong with teaching. Sometimes it's good to be able to see visual aids to kind of give it a little extra oomph. And then when you hear the comparisons of what the meaning and what it really ended up being for us as Christians and the hope that we have in a returning Savior, what a blessing it was this morning. That's why I just wanted to play a little Jesus Loves Me. We are loved today. We got in here during choir practice, and we always end the practice with prayer requests. And you know, we all have, if we started taking prayer requests tonight, we all have something that we would need to call on. And the most part of those prayer requests are needs that are, depressing is not the right word, but it's a little oppressing when you start to take on the magnitude of what the needs in a group this size really are. There's so many serious needs, and we said, boy, next week I think we might do, instead of prayer requests, we come in for a praise fest. Nothing wrong with the prayer requests, because we love calling those out and being able to pray for them. But if we all took a week, and just from last Monday till today, and we looked at areas that the Lord has blessed us, and we started praising Him for those, each of those events and what He's blessed us with, we'd be here all night just praising Him. I remember Susie Smith talking about one day. She said she was always faithful to read her Bible and pray for folks. She had a prayer list that she went over, and she took great care in praying over. But she said, Dave, one day I just decided that instead of praying for those needs that day, I was going to get in there and just thank God for everything He'd done for me. And she said, I thought that'd be kind of tough, you know, may hit a few things in that prayer. But she said, I found myself praying in there the longest prayer, because she said one blessing led to another blessing. And she said, I just spent all this time and never asked for one thing, never said I need one thing, bless this, but thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And what a blessing it is to have those items that we can go back to. And it blesses me to hear what's been a blessing to you, because you don't know what I may be facing, and something that's happened to you might lift me up and help me. This morning, Brother Roger came in here with a bunch of visitor girls that he had gone to LaGrange and picked up. And although I was listening and paying attention very attentively to the presentation this morning, I kept looking back there. And I saw all those girls sitting back there that Roger could have said, well, LaGrange is too far. I won't drive down there. It's going to be too hard to get them. And I'm not pinning a rose on Roger's nose, but at the same time, I am in that if we took the initiative, if just half of us went out of the way to bring one person with us, we'd have to expand this building before long. If we started really taking hold of who we know, and we all know somebody, we say, no, we don't know anybody, we all know somebody that we could reach out to, that we could go pick up and bring to church, and what an amazing crowd we'd have for the glory of the Lord by just doing that. No, that's fine. Roger, you heard what he said? Come here so they can hear you.
Two of them little girls that came this morning have really blessed my heart. They came, it was 8 and 9 years old when they came. and started riding the bus. They were the first ones I picked up. They came to church, and they got saved. You saw it all over their face. They were so excited. They had the greatest love in their heart. They were so excited. They went home, and they lived with their mama and grandmama. And they came home, and they told their mama and grandmama about the Lord. And the next Sunday, the mama and granddad mama came to church. They came up, and they got saved. They went to the next door neighbor that lived beside of them. They was friends. And they went and said, you got to come to church. You got to come to church. They came to church, and they got saved. And they was here this morning. Amen. They came and got on the. Then they came and invited the cousins and the kin people to come to church. They came to church, and they got saved. Two of their cousins got saved. We saw the whole, just a change in their lives. And they came and got saved. And then they started getting on the school bus and telling everybody, say, hey, you got to come to church. You got to know Jesus. You got to know the Lord. You got to know him. And they got the whole school bus excited. And then we started picking up. We picked up 15 more kids from the school bus, and 10 of them got saved. And then these girls went and went in that classroom and started talking about Jesus. They started bringing the Bible to school, and they started talking about the Lord in the classroom. And the teacher got up and said, y'all so excited about the Lord in this classroom. I just want to know how many of y'all saved. And they all raised their hand, but like 3 or 4 said. What amazing. 2 little girls, they was 8. And 9 years when they first started, they 12 or 13 now, but when they first started, they was that age to go out there and spread the gospel all over and just show their love and joy. And today, I went and I was talking with one of the parents. I took the kids home. I was out there talking with one of the parents, and them kids got a broom and they swept the van out. I didn't tell them that. They just did it on their own. And they just love the Lord. And I just, it's amazing. It's amazing what 2 little girls did.
And Tanya says, I want Roger to help me on the bus ministry here at Westside. Never know what one little seed planted will do. I was proud this morning for Ms. Johnson that led him to the Lord on the side of the road. No telling how many lives have been affected and changed through his years of ministry and working for the Lord because of Ms. Johnston. Can you imagine if Ms. Johnston had driven by and said, I need to stop? No, I'm not, because I might get embarrassed. It might not be comfortable to pick up a young man and talk to him about the Lord. Is it safe? Should I really stop and pick up a young man? Is it safe for me to do that? What if she had not? What if she had not stopped and picked him up? It'll be heaven before we realize how many lives he's really touched through his ministry. But I guarantee you there won't be any reunion sweeter than Ms. Johnson and Brother Jack. That seed planted. William, come sing He Came to Me. When I could not get to where he was, we weren't searching. Now, we were searching for something in our lives to fill that hole. There's a Jesus-sized hole in every one of our hearts. And only he can fill that hole. But trust me, we weren't looking for him. We were looking for everything to fill it that we could find. And some of you could tell some things that you tried to fill it with. But when he came looking for us, he came to us where we were. Woo. Sing it.
Christ, my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never afford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. Then I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where. For the day that Jesus, he came down to me. Say that. Oh, that's why my Jesus died. He died on Calvary. He died for you and me when I could not come to where he was. He came.
Are you ready, Doctor? Amen. Folks, thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. It's a blessing in my heart to see you here. But I like it when the Lord shows up most of all. I tell you, Brother William, that was on. You did a fine job. Fine job. You come on, Doctor, and give us whatever the Lord's given you to give us.
Should be on. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Brother William. Thank you for that good song, David. Thank you. You know, I'm always amazed, beloved, at the goodness of our God. I preached a series now it's been a couple years ago, on Bible characters, Brother Melvin. And the title of each message was, One Person Can Make a Difference. One person. Brother Alton, I was just talking with your wife, one of the dearest preacher friends that I have in the world is Brother Larry Pearson. And we began to talk, and she said, Lisa said, well, I've known Brother Pearson a long time. And she said how she grew up and her dad helped build that church that he pastored. I didn't know that just till a few moments ago. Well, you never know where God is going to lead. And Brother David, I'm one that I don't, people do it, but and I'm thankful for it. And they talk about our ministry, and I'm grateful for that, but it reminds me of one person. Brother Melvin, the books that I read are by A.W. Tozer. He was a Christian Missionary Alliance preacher. He went all over the country preaching. And one time they introduced him, and they talked about his great ministry and how many books he had written and this and that. And finally they asked him to come up and preach. And this is what he said, beloved. Lord, please forgive that man for all that he has said about me. And then he added, and please forgive me for enjoying it so much. So that's kind of puts it all in perspective, but I appreciate the day that we've had. I hope it will not be the last time to come. But I was giving some thought this afternoon to tonight's message. Brother Melvin always, when we were together, said those Bible characters just stimulate my thinking. It reminded me that our Bible is a book of principles. It's a book of periods of time, but is also a book of personalities. And I personally spend a lot of time in dealing with different personalities. I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you would, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. There's a man in the Scripture that I love. I have to tell you, I've never met one young man who has his first name or even has his name for a middle name. And I've often wondered, why didn't somebody take this man, this Bible character, and name their child because of him? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look down, if you would, just a moment at verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You find in verse 16, beloved, a very unusual man. His name is Onesiphorus. He played, I believe, a great part in the life of the Apostle Paul. You'll see in just a moment why. I want to just develop tonight's message under three particular categories. First of all, the blessing of a good friendship. There is nothing tonight, I believe, more encouraging than to have one person or one individual who is a real blessing to you personally. I have had people encounter me, like I'm sure you have, and they've made the statement, just seeing you has made my day. What an encouragement thought to think about. Here is the Apostle Paul. He has moved, beloved, from one city to another. He has been to places that are named in the Scripture, such as Caesarea and other places. He's been involved in the establishing of numbers of churches. And I believe that when he writes to Timothy, he is coming to the end, perhaps, of his own personal ministry. Why would he mention this particular individual, Onesiphorus? I want you to hold your place a moment. I want you to turn back in the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. Those of you that are acquainted with the book of Acts, you know it is a transitional book, Brother Alton, from the four Gospels to the early church stage. When you arrive in Acts chapter 19, it's not hard to know where it is. Look what it says at the very beginning. Look at chapter 19 in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Paul arrives in Ephesus. It is a seaport town. It is a town where we get our book of Ephesians from, about the church at Ephesus. Some strange things were taking place in Ephesus. One of them, there was a revival that was taking place. In chapter 19, look at verse number 17. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. There it is again. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. By the way, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, we are living in a day of a lot of false religion. We are living in days of counterfeit. And all these supposedly revivals, Brother Melvin, that are taking place, you notice it said in verse 17, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. One sure sign that revival is taking place, Brother David, is the name of Christ will be lifted up. I love music like Brother Williams sang tonight. I like songs that exalt Christ. I like music, Brother Melvin, that exalts our Christ. That does something to me on the inside. I wouldn't give you anything for this new-fashioned sort of called music they have where you can't understand what they're saying or what the words. But in this, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Notice second, look down at verse number 20 in chapter 19. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. A second evidence, not only is the Lord Jesus magnified, but the word of God began to increase. I still believe as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Brother Melvin, we're living in a day when the word of God is not being exalted and the word of God is not being taught. I appreciate Brother Joe Honeycutt. Walked into his class, didn't know a thing about him, didn't know anything that we were going to hear. But I want to tell you something, beloved. He exalted the word of God. That's a good evidence of revival. But look at verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, you don't see this perhaps in the Scripture just as I don't see it. But something strange and unusual was taking place there in Ephesus. There was a woman by the name of Diana. They were making shrines and selling them. It was a great source of income to the people who were involved. Look at verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain into the craftsmen. Verse 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, there it is again, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. And her magnificence, notice, should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now, just imagine, if you can, this man by the name of Demetrius was heading up a craft of making shrines of Diana. They were selling them. Then all of a sudden something happens. This little strange converted Jew who has found Christ as his Messiah, he comes into Ephesus and he begins to preach. And beloved, he almost shut down the entire operation. Their craft was in great danger. Obviously, they didn't like it. Look at verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They begin to scream out, "Great is Diana." And he's preaching Christ to them. Verse number 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Now, I'm going to stop there. You get the part of it. Here is the beginning of a great friendship. It does not say only history records this. You know who was there at Ephesus? You know who was here, beloved, during that time? This man by the name of Onesiphorus. And what happened to him? Well, he got converted. He got saved. He found the grace of God in the midst of all this confusion and crafting and everything. He became a child of God. So guess what happens? He wants to follow the man who perhaps personally led him to Christ. It's the beginning of a great friendship. Now, let me show you second something else. Notice the blessing of a great friendship. Turn, if you will, back where we started to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Notice the wording again. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, may I transfer your attention tonight from the place of Ephesus where all this was going on, from there to Jerusalem where he went, and finally, ultimately, to Rome. That was his greatest desire, was to reach Rome. There were millions of people there in Rome. He wanted to reach them and establish a church. Notice it says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 1, he was not ashamed of my chain. Now, put yourself in the place of this man tonight and what is actually taking place. They gather Paul together. They throw him in a place called the Mamertine Prison. My wife and I have been able to visit there. It's just really a hole in the ground. It has electrical lighting. 10 or 12 people can go down. If you go to Rome, they will take you to the Mamertine Prison. But when they threw Paul down in that, Brother Alton, there were no lights. There was nothing but dirt and mud and grime, and they dropped him down into that Mamertine prison. Here comes Onesiphorus. He hasn't forgotten, beloved, what had happened to him at Ephesus. He's going all over the area of Rome, knocking on doors, asking people, You see, in Rome, they would hide in the catacombs there. And so here is Onesiphorus. He's going from house to house and place to place. He wants to find, Brother Melvin, the man who led him to Christ. Brother David mentioned Mrs. Alva Johnson, who picked me up and led me to Christ. She had some of the strangest ways, Brother David, of anybody I've ever known. Number one, she was a polio victim back in the days when they didn't know how to treat polio. And I started preaching, and somehow she'd find out what church I was preaching in. I don't know how she found out. I'd be ready, Brother Mike, to go to the pulpit and preach, and the pastor would say to me, Brother Jack, there's a lady wants to speak to you in my office. I said, Brother, I'm getting ready to preach. Tell her to call back later or something. He said, she won't take no for an answer. I said, all right, let me go. I'll be right back. It would be Mrs. Alva Johnson on the phone. You know what she would say to me? Now, Jack, I want you to remember something. I've never forgotten it. When you get in that pulpit, there's one thing I want you to remember. I said, what? She said, always exalt Jesus. That's the way Onesiphorus was. He's chasing all over Rome. He's knocking on doors. He's visiting different places. He's trying to discover where the man who led him to Christ might be. Notice the scripture said, he was not ashamed of my chain. If biblical history is correct, when they threw Paul down and they chained him in Rome, he had a chain on his arms, perhaps in legs, and he was chained to a couple of guards, maybe more than two. They were guarding him. Can you imagine what it would have been like, Brother Alton, to have been chained to the Apostle Paul? I imagine he perhaps started in the Old Testament, maybe then went to the new, whatever was revealed, and he began to witness to them about Christ. They changed shifts. And those guards would say, oh, I'm glad you're here. We got to get away from that fanatic. All he talks about is Christ. All he wants us to do is believe on Christ. Here they are in the city of Rome. Now, notice something. Look at verse 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Now, I don't know if that would mean much to us tonight. He went through all of the city of Rome, a large city with millions of slaves, knocking on doors, looking for Paul. And I love that statement. He says, he sought me out very diligently. Could I tell you something tonight? You know the Christians, I love the old songs, and that one that says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know how you get on higher ground? You got to be diligent in what you do. You got to be diligent in studying the Word of God. You got to be diligent in witnessing. Every power in your being is applied just like this man applied to finding Paul. Boy, I'd sure like to have been there when those two united. You ever met a Christian that you hadn't seen in a while? People of the world don't understand that. We hug one another. We embrace one another. The man that took me in his home after I left home, he was just a country farmer, had been a dairy farmer, changed to chickens, and I'd be in his home. My wife often says, honey, why do you tell that? Because, Brother Alton, I have such good memories of being in that home. He asked me one day at church, this little country church, much smaller than this. He said, how'd you like to eat Sunday dinner with us? I said, well, I was in the Army. I said, I don't have to go back to the base on Sunday. He said, well, come down our road. You know where we live. I stepped into that little country home, David. The aroma of that home permeated that whole house. I stepped in. They said, come on back in the kitchen. You folks will relate to this. I had never eaten cornbread. I didn't know what turnip greens or mustard greens or collards. I didn't know any of that stuff. I asked Ms. McCune, I wasn't married, I was only 22. I said, what's the recipe for that cornbread? She said, honey, there ain't no recipe. I just pour it in the skillet. She'd take those homemade yeast rolls out. And the amazing thing is when I got there and looked down, beloved, at that table, there was no silverware. Well, my mother, you know, in a city home, she always placed knife, fork, and spoon and taught us how to do that. Not in this home. They just piled it up on the washing machine in the kitchen. And I thought, well, that's strange. And then I looked down again and I saw something I'd never seen before. They weren't drinking out of glasses. What were they drinking out of? Mason fruit jars. I never drank out of a Mason fruit jar. What I'm saying to you, that bound us together in a special way. But what I wanted to say, I love Brother C.L. McCune. I look forward to getting to heaven, seeing he and his wife. I'd get ready to leave. He'd grab me and hug me. You know what he'd do? He'd kiss me on the neck. Wasn't any bad relationship. That's just his way of showing affection. And I imagine when Paul and Onesiphorus got together, beloved, it was much the same way. They embraced each other and probably said, Brother Paul, I'm so glad to see you. And Onesiphorus, I'm glad to see you. Are you still going on for the Lord? Yes, I am. He sought me out very diligently. Notice the last thing he said. Verse number 18. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in that day, and how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. He did not just find him, beloved. He ministered to him. He helped him. He encouraged him. Every time I study the life of this man, you know what I realize comes out of his life? He's only named two times in the New Testament, here in this chapter, and then I believe in the fourth chapter, and that's all you see of him. Do you know, Brother Joe was talking about in the scripture in Sunday school, do you know some of the greatest Christians are maybe only named once or twice in our Bible? And yet, beloved, they have such an impact, just like this man had such an impact on the Apostle Paul. He said, Lord, give him mercy. He has ministered to me. I appreciate what David said tonight. What if every one of us found one person and brought them to church? Just one person. Why, this building... I get amazed at the things God often does with us, Brother Melvin. My testimony is translated into Spanish, Russian, and Portuguese for the Brazilian people. And if you want to see Brother Jack get excited, put him close to a group of Spanish people. Just recently, we were with a pastor in Kentucky. We were in the Walmart. We're always in the Walmart. And I noticed everybody checking out was Spanish. And that started the wheels turning for me. I got outside, and there was a whole truckload of them that were working. Sandra said to me, honey, we hadn't got time. We got to get back to the church. I thought, no, we do have time. And I started giving out my testimony in Spanish. One of them was asking, give me a copy of that. And the blessing was the wife of the pastor, they had spent time in Mexico, and she knew fluent Spanish. There we're standing in the middle of Walmart. She's witnessing. I'm giving out tracts. And I thought, This is the greatest thing in the world. I got back to the church and I told them what happened. One of the ladies said, "Do you know that's one of the most dangerous Walmarts in our whole area? They've had stabbings and robbings and all kind of things going on." It didn't affect us one bit. You know why? Because God was allowing us to do what we did. This man not only was a blessing to the Apostle Paul, he also paved the way for the service of God. I hope tonight someone will take this man's life and this man's example, and someone that you know and I know that's unsaved, we won't just let them go by. We'll be diligent about them. We'll minister to them. Could I tell you tonight, Brother Melvin, if there's anything God has taught me, it's about the law of kindness. The kinder you are to people. My wife often says, "Honey, how do you get done what you get done?" I said, "You just put kindness upon them. And kindness will have them eating out of your hand." Oh, to practice that law of kindness. Here's Onesiphorus, a man after God's own heart and a man who encouraged the servant of God. Oh, tonight we might have some Onesiphorus within our congregation who ministered, who helped, who encouraged, who did all of that in spite of the circumstances, in spite, beloved, of the conditions that we may be placed in. Precious Father, I perhaps tonight have not done justice to this man's life. But Lord, in my heart, I realize tonight that you placed him in the scripture for a definite purpose. What a blessing to have someone that refreshes, and someone that encourages, and someone who seeks out to bring good out of a life. As we stand in just a moment to sing, and as we pray before dismissal, may thy grace be extended to us greatly. In Christ's precious name, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our musicians are present. Brother David's here to play, and our pianist is here. I'm not always sure what number we ought to sing in response to a message like this, but I believe tonight with all of my heart, if we'll follow Jesus, he'll lead us to the person he wants us to talk to, or the person he wants us to touch. Someone is going to cross your path on Monday that needs your witness, that needs your encouragement, that needs your kindness, it needs you to open your heart to them. Would you be one to do that?